when I began to study Matthew 6, I realized that God was requesting. We say it's the Lord's Prayer in there. But what is being prayed there? Now, yes, it's an outline of how you can pray. But it's specific. When I began to research, it's very, very specific. And especially in verse 10, it's a colonization prayer. It's asking God for us. This is what we're supposed to do. Let's see, colonization is God's idea. It's the only way the kingdom gets expanded is that we bring that into this realm. Hallelujah. And every kingdom gets expanded by colonization. They're not coming to take over. See, we're thinking about World War I, World War II. Now, if you go back and even read in our history, when we won a war, the people actually begin to live more like us. That's called colonization. Now, a lot of the islands in different places, they were under Great Britain for years. But now that Great Britain has declared its own freedom, a lot of those little islands are now governments unto themselves. So, you know, that has its place in our society. That's good sometimes, and sometimes it's not. It depends on how well you were taken care of by who was ruling you. All right, some were oppressive and some were actually good for those nations. But let's look at Matthew 6. And let's look at, verse 6 and going through. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. In other words, he said, you don't have to make a showcase of your prayers. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, say, we need to pray, and we should pray. Because when is saying, when you pray, that means you're going to pray. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. He said, don't come. Okay, I'm not going to go there. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So let's pause and think. Now he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What does Jesus say? He said, now I want you to pray in this manner. What he's saying, I need, he says, now you know, Jesus never taught just to be having something to say. What Jesus is doing here is he's laying a foundation how you should pray as a believer and what prayer should be your priority. Oh, we didn't think of it that way. See, now you got to believe what Jesus said. Say, I'm going to believe what Jesus said. So Jesus has given us a defined commandment here. He told them and he's telling us to pray that the language, the values, the morals, the economic system of heaven fills this earth. The same thing that was supposed to happen in the garden, he told Adam to go out and establish the kingdom. But since Adam failed at it, the commandment didn't get lost. He gave it to us. And he told us to pray this, that your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come into this earth because I'm here and I represent. So he told them to pray that, and he told them to do that. Not that is a priority, say a priority prayer. See, when we start lining up our lives, a lot of things that we are praying for should be requests. Or acquisitions, or I'm appropriated. You know, I used to work for NCR, National Cash Register, and when the salesman needed certain things, because I was the secretary, they put in a request chip. They called them chips back then, but it's just a request form. They were not praying. They were requesting what they knew was their right to have because they were working. And the reason we pray so much about things that we shouldn't pray about is because there's not enough work. So we make that our daily prayer instead of going to work. So he says, how's that kingdom going to get expanded? It's going to get expanded through you and I. So he says, let me get there because I got to get to my notes because you know. So he says to me, we were not to spend our prayer time using our prayer as a vehicle to get our needs met. Now, I've taught this before, but maybe we're going to catch it this time. Because we spend a lot of our time asking God, I need this, I need that. He said, that's not the way you, that's not a priority prayer. That's why it kind of messed with your faith, because you need it yesterday. Everything we need comes with the culture of the kingdom. You might want to write that down. See, all your needs are in the culture of the kingdom. It is the kingdom, it's the culture of the kingdom to make sure its citizens have everything they need. That's the culture of the kingdom. So when the kingdom is in the earth, so is the culture of heaven. All the values, principles, morals, economic system, wealth, all of this comes with the culture of the kingdom. Now look at verse 33 of that same chapter. I know we could go back and we could take that apart and do a whole lot of stuff, but let's just look at verse 33. Matthew 6:33. But seek, now he's given another non-optional assignment. This is not optional. We made it optional, but it's not. So if we're praying out of order, we're seeking out of order. So if the priority prayer is not for the kingdom of God to be displayed in the earth, then I'm going to start seeking stuff that I shouldn't see. Because my prayer not lining up right. Yeah, I know it's going to help some people today. Because what it's going to do is going to bring clarity to your prayer life. And you're going to find that praying is a whole lot easier. Because you lose sight of you. It's about the will of God being done. But most Christians spend 90% of their prayer time believing God for something they need in their house. That's out of order. It is absolutely out of order. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all is inclusive of everything. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow got a thought of his own. He said, don't take tomorrow's thought in advance. You're taking on a care. In other words, he said, stop worrying about something that is not even happening yet. So we were not to spend our prayer time using it as a vehicle to get our needs met because it comes with the culture. Now the word seek means to pursue, hunt for, search for, be diligent about it. Why? Because you don't know the new kingdom that you're being translated into. So he made it a requirement that you seek the kingdom as a priority. Why? Because you don't know the kingdom that you've been put into yet. This is a new country unto you. Colossians 1:13. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it for you. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now we're in this new kingdom. And you cannot live haphazardly and get the kingdom to function for you. There has to be some priorities. And seeking the righteousness, which is the ways of God. Oh. So, in other words, let me give you this example. Maybe you'll better see what I'm trying to say. We live in America, right? How many of us really know America? We have lived here all of our lives, and there are still places that we have never seen, cities that we don't know exist. So now, if you were told to seek America, where would you start? Where would you start? If I told you, seek America, where would you start? You start at the foundation. You go to the Constitution. You have to learn what makes the United States of America the United States of America. And we think going from state to state, learning the land. No, that is part of it. But you, every state, you need to know the Constitution that gives you your rights. Oh, and your responsibilities. So he says, you need to learn and become more knowledgeable of the Constitution of the United States of America. Why? The Constitution is the written, say the written, laws or ways whereby we can conduct ourselves as a citizen of this great nation. It describes in it who you are as a citizen. Oh, it's going to hit. It's hitting you, isn't it? I know. Now, because of this Constitution and our understanding of it, we can venture out and discover and possess land. You don't seek the land before you know your rights. That's kind of backwards. So we be seeking things when you don't know your rights. Your rights will tell you what you need. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit, because you gave me this assignment. So seeking the kingdom is to be a lifelong experience, because you can travel from east to west in America and you're not going to cover everything in a day. It's a lot of America you need to know about. But you start with what is written about it. What made it the United States of America? Seeking the kingdom is the only, say only, thing we were told to seek. He didn't tell you to seek money. He didn't tell you to seek health. He didn't tell you to seek anything but the kingdom. And he promised you that the things you need will be added to you. He said, don't operate like the heathens. Don't operate like the world. And you put the things first and make the kingdom last. You got it out of order. We don't know enough about the kingdom. So we're trying to get things to come, and it looks like they're not showing up, and there's a reason why. Okay. Now, the motivation for seeking has to be pure. Are you paying attention? Those online, are you paying attention? Don't be chewing that gum while I'm talking. Just put a smile on your face. I still love you. You don't seek the kingdom for things. You want to write that one down. Because in your heart place, you don't seek the kingdom for things. Jesus said, now how many of you going to believe what Jesus said? This is what Jesus said. I say it again. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, here's the priority. You need to seek first the kingdom. First takes a place of only. Seek only the kingdom and God's way of doing everything. When I learned the constitution of heaven, which is the B-I-B-L-E, this is the written constitution for every believer. It gives me my rights and my privileges and my responsibilities and everything in it that belongs to me. I don't have to beg for it. It's added to me. And if I'm working, I can put on a request. Okay, Daddy, I'm out of paper. We need paper for the printer. That's not a prayer. That's a requisition. I am requesting paper for the office. And you're doing that because you know it's already yours. And you have rights to it. I'm trying to talk slow. I'm highly motivated up here, but I'm trying to talk slow. Because I want you to get this. He says, I need you to focus on the kingdom. Learn who you are and what you have and what you can do. And I provided it in my written constitution. So we need to know the values. What does the kingdom value as important versus the world? The values are not the same. So you can't hold dear the values of the world because the values of the kingdom are not the same. The most precious commodity in the kingdom are souls, not things. People are. And that's a value we should hold. And we can't let it slip in our pursuit of things. Because if you're pursuing things, people don't hold the same place with you. And you can't, because you can't serve both of them. It's gonna be a conflict of interest. Then the morals of the kingdom. How am I to function in every circumstance that I incur? Do I function like this? Okay, my constitution tells me how I should function when I encounter this, instead of just behaving like the world. And you get on TV and scream and say dumb stuff. Or you go to tweet and tweet your emotions. Or you're on Instagram and you saying some silly stuff that doesn't line up with the constitution. You're out of order. How do you change that? You got to get back in order. And then, the principles of the kingdom. How does the kingdom function? The principles govern the kingdom. Principles governs the kingdom. Faith is a principle. Tithing and giving is a principle. It's a law. Principles are simply laws. They are laws that cannot be changed by anybody. God himself will not change the laws that he established. Because if he does, he have to stop being God. He said, I change not. The Bible declares that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his word never changes. If he does, everything around us will fall apart. It will stop existing. That's how valuable the laws and the principles of the kingdom are. So I got to learn, how does the kingdom function? And see, these are things that we're supposed to discover. They're supposed to be ongoing, because as a baby Christian, you learn some fundamental things and you keep growing in those fundamental things. It's kind of like what Pastor DJ was teaching about when he teaches music. You got to teach the rudiments, the fundamental things, so you can build upon that, because everything in music is built on that. How to place your hands, what notes are notes. You got to know that. Otherwise, you can't go up there and play Bach. Everything is built on the foundation, and we try to bypass that and get to the specialty class. He says, we got to know the principles. What makes the kingdom run? And then how do I get the kingdom to respond to me? What benefits do I have in the kingdom? And when and who I am, what's my role and my responsibility and to the kingdom? So learning God's ways causes the culture of heaven to manifest in my environment. Because I'm bringing heaven to earth when I pursue the kingdom. Now, you know, in your mind, the devil trying to twist it right now for some of you and make you think, well, that's hard. I got to go back to it. You mean I can't pray for my house? No, you shouldn't pray for your house like that. You should request. Daddy, it's your will that I not have any debt. That's part of the culture of heaven. Oh, no man, nothing. That's what your word said, right? So now I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm your citizen. And in a kingdom, the citizens don't take care of themselves. Go do some history. The citizens don't provide for themselves housing. And because I'm your citizen and I belong to you forever, I put in my request, get this mortgage off me. Take some pressure off of you believing. See, that's a privilege that you have. It's one of the benefits of being in the kingdom. Instead of you spending 6 hours trying to fast and pray to get rid of a mortgage, that 6 hours you could have been believing for the kingdom to come and flow through you. You could be touching somebody's lives from that prayer time. But we're spending it incorrectly. I'm not going to be up here long this morning. I don't think, anyway. When we align ourselves up with the ways of the kingdom, the things that are part of the kingdom culture will be drawn to me. Oh, listen to this. See, I don't have to chase them. My productivity is attractive. They come to me because my working is attractive. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, please hear this. You are very attractive when you are productive. People like productive people, even if they're jealous of you. They still like productive people. And you are nice to look at. You draw things to you. You draw favor to you. Because you are productive. The worst thing that could happen to our nation is to send people home and make them stay home in the house and tell them not to go to work. Why? Because they know you're going to go broke in a matter of days. You're going to be unappealing. They're not going to want you. And they're not going to provide for you. Why? There's no productivity. We were made to be producers. To display the kingdom of God in our environment. But we got to get out of this. Brother, won't you give me a helping hand? How long are you going to need a helping hand? And I'm all for helping people. But sometimes that becomes a crutch. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do for a person is stop being their crutch. Cut them loose. Because if they really believe God, God will provide for them. If not, you need to know. Because you can't be their God perpetually. You weren't designed to be their God. So we see versus spending 6 hours praying for things, spend that time desiring to know him and his ways And he'll add what you need because you're being productive. And because you can't get up out of that kind of prayer time and go do absolutely nothing. But you can go pray for yourself for 6 hours and walk away and be as though you never prayed because you go right back thinking about your stuff. It doesn't motivate you to work. I'm trying to give you the secret. Quit praying about you. Because you can become depressive. You think about yourself long enough, you can find something that you ain't gonna like, and then you're gonna get stuck on that, and then you know. I know, I'm teaching. Yeah, I'm helping you. But if we put the kingdom as a priority, Lord, what does the kingdom need today from me? How do I function today? Where do you want me to go? What you want me to say? What you want me to give today? Do I need to go pray for my neighbor today? Where do you want me to go? Chart my course out for me. Reveal that to me in prayer this morning, and I'll do that. Now, we got communion. We got communication going on. But if I give up in the morning and say, Lord, you know my rent due tomorrow. You got to come through for me. And then all day long, you're thinking about your rent. He said, I don't want you praying that way. When are we going to learn the lesson? Woo, Jesus. Now, things are added according to your knowledge and your work ethics. So if I don't know much about the kingdom, I can't draw much to me. And if I got bad work habits, I'm not going to work, but every so often when I feel like it. Somebody got to start something, a program got to get started in the church, and then I'll come every now and then to that program. Okay, we're going to the church doing a reach out outreach, so we'll go to that. But once that's over, work is over. Okay, how many of y'all been out working and greeting and meeting people since the Harvest Festival? Did it stop there? That means what you asking for a paycheck? You ain't worked since what day was that, the 28th of October? It is now November the what? The 12th. What kind of paycheck you looking for? You haven't worked since then? What? You don't need nothing. You're not working. What you need? You don't need nothing because you're not working. What you need? You don't need nothing because you're not working. You're busy worrying about you. What you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, what you're going to drive. And Jesus says, I do not want you spending all your time thinking of that. That's the way the world operates. It does not draw to you what you think it ought to draw to you. All it does is draw more cares to you. All of a sudden the washing machine go bad. And then the chair fall apart. Something happens. Why? You're drawing that to you. Because you decided to make your ministry caring about you. So you're drawing cares unto you. He says, I'll add it to you if you make the kingdom a priority. Oh, Jesus. So based on your knowledge and your work habits, things are added. Because he's not going to give you a Rolls Royce. And you can't pay your bills on time. He's not going to do it. The devil might do it, but God's not going to do it. You got to give him more credit than that. So a lack of desire to work does not attract many things to you. People are attractive when they are productive. And things will find productive people. I found that out. When people think you got something on the ball, people want to follow you. But when they look over and you don't look any more exciting than they are, Oh, they'll talk to you, and then they'll talk about you. But they won't follow you. And the key is to get people to follow you. Jesus said, I make you fishers of men, not fishers of things. I'm sending you out to catch people. Not to spend your whole life considering things. Not even your health. That's part of the culture. All you got to do is put in a requisition. Oh my God, we spend too much time believing God for health. It's a requisition. And then you get up every day and thank him for health. Thank you for providing it. Lord, I thank you for health. It's in my body working mightily in me. So you can do that and thank him. But this stuff of begging God, Lord, I thank you, Lord. God, you got to heal brother so-and-so. And you need to heal. He already healed them. You need to teach them how to put in a request. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you learning? Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. See, because God needed to get us out of this slumber that the world has lullabied us into. And what they did, they lullabied, lied to us and told us to live this way and do that. So we take all our cues from the world instead of the Bible. When I went to the doctor recently, they were astounded that I wasn't on any medication. And I guess I must have got asked that by the doctor more than one time. And I wanted to say, I'm like, I almost felt like Peter. The Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you, Jesus. What's up with you? Keep asking me, do I love you? He said, feed my sheep. I almost wanted to say, doctor, did you really hear me? I said, I'm on no medication. So, you know, I think they ask you more than one time to make sure that you're being honest. And she said, you're not a diabetic? I said, no. You're not on high blood pressure medicine? No. You're not on cholesterol medicine? No. You know cholesterol medicine, none but a high blood pressure medicine. I'm not going to tell her name because it's the name that used to be out there that was killing people. They said, well, they're going to take it off the market. No, they changed the name. For cholesterol. Got terrible side effects. The side effects didn't change. They just changed the name. Because it was a money-making venture. And they start telling you need cholesterol medicine. Because 10 years down the road, you might have a heart attack. They guarantee, you know why they can say that? Because they figure most people are not going to change what they're doing. They figure you're going to continue to eat the way you've been eating all your life. You're not going to have any exercise involved in it. And you're going to sit around and just watch TV. So they already know in 10 years you're going to have a heart attack. That's why they can predict it. See, your work habits tell people who you are. Oh, that was a freebie. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there's some things that already been prepared for you. They've already been prepared. Oh, my God. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Say that we might know. That we might know. Come on, say it like you hear me. That we might know. Say it but loud and bold. Know. So there's an emphasis that we might know. not assume, but that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. Oh, that'll take a lot of pressure out of your prayer. So if you prayed the priority thing, which is the kingdom, Lord, let the kingdom be done in the earth through me. Let heaven be seen through me. Teach me how to function like Jesus. Teach me how to live like you want me to live in this earth, so that you'll get all the glory and all the praise. He says, because there are some things that have been freely given to us that you don't know yet. This is why you got to learn them. You're in a new kingdom for those that are just born again. You're in a new kingdom. Stop trying to get your marriage fixed, your children fixed, all that kind of stuff. Get to know the kingdom. All that stuff will be pushed in there and added. Man. He says, look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. So quit trying to get these sinners to understand when you're doing something spiritual. He said, they are foolish unto them. Neither he know them. The world don't understand tithing and giving. So quit trying to discuss it. You can't teach a sinner about tithing and giving. It's foolishness to them. Because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, say I have, the mind of Christ. So he's trying to get you to have a new confession about yourself. I have the mind of Christ. So I'm in this transformation process. So we see there's been some things that's been freely given us that we need to discover. Amen? How many of you can see that? Hallelujah. So now let's look at Hebrews 4. Then I'm going to close in just a minute. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 4. Let us therefore reverence or fear, lest a promise being left us. Promise has been left to us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Don't let this word go wasted. Mix faith with it. Embrace it. Adopt it. Put it in your life. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So there's nothing else he's got to do. Everything has already been finished. So now our priority prayer should be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. Let the kingdom of heaven be seen through me. Because everything I need to accomplish has already been done. It was finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he told us we're not supposed to sit down and cry about our needs. We are to appropriate our daily necessity. That's why giving is so important, because your giving goes before you and meet a need before you need the need. You're investing in your own life through giving, because it goes before you, because your tithes can't do that. Your giving has to go before you and be there when it's time for that need. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand to your feet.